When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Get your shopping done right this holiday season with Big Air Columbus. Right now, you can get $100 off Elite Player Passes at Big Air, which is unlimited play all day, any day. Or buy one $25 gift card, get a free pair of holiday grip socks, plus a 1.5 hour pass to use after the new year. Big Air is the perfect gift for the kids in your family. So get your holiday shopping done right with Big Air Columbus. Stop by today inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall or online at BigAirUSA.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Red and White Chalkboard Podcast, brought to you by myself, Cormac, and my fellow host, Taylor. Taylor, how are we?
Hola, hola. I'm good, man. I'm good. Actually, I say that. I'm live from teeth. I'm actually pretty dreadful. I go as far to say, on the ledge.
Yeah.
So it's funny. For you to pull me back.
We're already only four episodes in now, and we've already got a recurring theme, and we're already sounding like a bit of an echo chamber. It's just, what's going on with United? United is so shit, and everyone's so happy about it. And honestly, for one, I don't hate it. I could imagine it's a little bit more tricky for you. I mean, going on to that then, I think that might be the best way to kick things off. Obviously, it was the FA Cup over the weekend. There was a few results there that we'll touch on, and we'll have a look at some of the other games that are now going to be coming up, and maybe a good opportunity for some of the other teams to go out and get a trophy. But starting off, Manchester United, Taylor, take it away.
Gosh, man, where to start? I think if any team deserved to beat Manchester United this season, it was Fulham.
Absolutely.
You know, they lost both Premier League fixtures to us, 1-0, late goals. They played better than us. We played dreadfully. This Fulham side was just 100% due a victory. But the manner of it, I think, makes it all the more painful because we still just played bad. Yep. But we are just, ultimately, we are just, at the minute, a really bad bubble team. And I don't see the end in sight for us changing our style of play to make us look anything better than we're currently showing. So slow. Look at that team that they put out last night, man. You know, we started with a midfield of Ericsson, final year of his contract, super old. Poor guy's had a heart attack. And he's having to do this is insane. There's no way that should pass health and safety. And we're putting him next to Bruno, and we've got Xerxes in front of them, so slow. Mm-hmm. Just everything about De Ligt, so slow. Maguire, so slow. There's so much slowness in the team. And watching it last night, that was exactly what I saw. Just a team. Yep. Not doing anything, no impetus, no quickness. Unbelievable to start Garnacho on the bench.
Yeah.
Because the guy's the only man who seems to have a pair of legs in the team right now. So, yes, the opening remarks, slow, boring, and dreadful.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to be, every time I watch Man United now, it seems to be the same story, right? It's the defending, especially. I mean, you can say that about going forward as well. You've got nothing going forward, but defensively, you let away these such easy goals. Like, your favourite player in the world, Bassi, getting a goal, getting that open header, really, from a corner, which seems to be a common theme again. It feels like you need an entire new back line, really. And you're making Onana look like a competent keeper now, because he's saving so much. And, like, the goals, like, you can't even blame him, because a lot of the time, it's not even his fault. Now, really, it is just the defense. And then going forward, I think a big part of it I really want to touch on here now is Hoyland. What's going on? Because I know when he first came in, you were such a big fan of him, and it did look so exciting, and he has definitely had moments. Is it lack of service? He looks like he's got no confidence as well. But what is happening? Because, you know, was it Obi, the young guy? What was his name, Obi? even I thought he came on, he looked like he had a bit something than Oyland did. What do you think? What's going on with him?
I think, firstly, Chido coming on and doing so much in such a short period of time kind of was somewhat of a light bulb moment for myself, because I think for the last few weeks I've been depending him heavily on the basis that he's not getting the service, and obviously he's, you know, short confidence, but I just genuinely don't think the team has been set up to service him. But honestly, watching Chido come on last night and kind of create a couple of opportunities for himself, I mean, the one which Bernd Leno saved with his arm out at the close angle, if that had gone in, you know, all hell would have broken loose, essentially. Yeah, it changes everything. And I think just his cameo alone last night was really damning for Haaland. That was probably the worst thing that could have happened for Haaland, is that this young guy comes on, gets, 40 minutes of football, and shows something which Haaland hasn't since he last scored against Victoria Pleasant in the Europa League way back in the middle of December. So I think it was just, the guy's just really short of confidence. And I don't think the answer is putting this 17-year-old, although I will say he's a man-child, because, bro, he's ginormous.
He is a large human being. At 17.
A large human being. Like, at 17?
That, what did we look like at 17 compared to, it's, I mean, you know. Yeah.
That'd be funny, man.
Such bro a sore was, eyes, though.
Bro's built for something. I don't know what it is. But bro is built for, you're not built like that at 17 and not destined for something. So obviously, but I don't think the answer is throwing this child into the team so you can give Haaland a rest. But then the most damning thing about that whole situation is it's actually our only opportunity. We can't, what else can we do? We haven't got our Marcus Rashford who could play up front, although, you know, he doesn't like to. We don't really have anything else.
Yeah. Well, going back to Haaland then, is he a long-term option? Do you think you're going to stick with him? Is it service that he needs then? Because if it is service, obviously, Diallo's out now. Obviously, Rashford's on loan. I mean, the only one that can ever really create. So you've got Eriksen has his moment. Garnacho, he's more of a goal threat than a creator, I think, probably. But how do you sort this out? Do you bring in more service? I mean, you know, spend more money?
I think as the season's developing, it's quite clear that Xerxes never going to play the starting position. I don't think he will. I think he's been quite obviously used a bit further back so he can affect the play a bit more. So I think actually bringing in just another striker, like for example, to go back to what I brought up recently, if Manchester United were to make a move for Liam Delap, mm-hmm. you've got two players there. This Liam Delap, who's just scored 10, 11 goals for Ipswich so far this season, and you've got Haaland, who last season scored approximately 10 goals in the Premier League. And they're both really young, and they've both got good styles. And I do think Haaland is suited to the Premier League. I just think if you bring another striker in like that, you almost hedge your bet and just think, well, if one of them's not good, surely the other one will be.
Yeah.
Whichever one that is. So I do think Haaland is one of these players, once he does kind of get 1, 2, 3 goals, you know, in 3 games type thing, he'll shake it off quite quickly and hit form. He just desperately just needs to score a goal. I think the longer it goes on, it's making it more painful.
I think that
striker option become a bit more of an important move this summer. So I think it will happen, like we discussed previously. But it's almost hedge your bets.
Yeah.
Who's going to be the better one? I don't think you can get rid of him. He's still so young. He's like 20, 21 years old. Like, still a baby. And can just, you know, score a few goals and all might be well again. But yeah, I think you probably do have to invest, provide some competition.
Yeah. Will that look like then? That Xerxes staying as well? So you have Haaland. Like I said, Xerxes isn't going to be an out-and-out nine, is he?
Xerxes had this weird redemption arc where obviously he got booed. Was it against Newcastle?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and ever since then, I think the crowd have just felt so bad that was allowed to happen. And at the beginning, it was very much sympathy cheering. But the sympathy cheering has somewhat worked because he has gotten better in the last few weeks. And
he looks good. He has his moments. I quite like him. Enough, I mean,
this is his best spot as a United player. I think right now he's probably like top three names on the team sheet, as in like automatic.
And that's big praise. Yeah, big praise there.
But he still hasn't scored many goals. I think he scored 7. So, pretty jokes, really, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, then. Amorim's been getting a lot of stick, I think, over the last few days now. And I think you can kind of understand why. Like, he's come in with this idea, this philosophy that he has. He's always done three at the back, and that's been something he really wants to stick with. That all being said, if you're not getting any results, do you have to be slightly less stubborn on that? Like, if you just don't simply have the players for this, and if it's just not working, you know, Rooney's, I think he said he was naive. Rooney said that Amorim was naive, which I think was I would say damning. Anything Rooney says, really, he's not exactly a managerial expert.
No. I'm like you over here.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, has he got a bit of a free pass for the rest of the season? Is he kind of just there now? Because they're not going to get rid of him now, are they? Between now and the end of the season, and that would be such a bad look as well.
Yeah, I think losing yesterday in the FA Cup is so much more critical than everyone's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot now get into the Europa League next season because there's no way we'll finish where we need to in the league and we're out of the FA Cup. So that is now off the table. So it is now Europa League, Champions League or bust type for Ruben Amorim. If we, going out of the FA Cup has just removed the one of two hopes Manchester United fans have, and now they're left with one. And again, that's a lot riding on a couple of knockout games. And the form in the league has been so bad. It's quite clear that the players haven't adapted to the system. I think so many of these players don't look confident playing. I just think we've got Bruno Fernandes in centre mid because we haven't got any midfielders to play that alongside Ugarte, who's fit. And it's just, you look at De Ligt, I look at Maguire, I think, oh God, you guys aren't really, why is De Ligt playing the right back, back role? That's, you know, anyone quick can be getting past him and then he can see the corner and then we can see the goal. The attack looks weak. Yeah, he's just not figured it out. And Bro is going to learn a valuable lesson, I think, over the next few months. Because at the minute, he's speaking so much.
When
you listen to him, he's almost like geeking out where he's talking about his tactics.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
What his plan is, and he talks about the players very honestly, and their game very honestly, which is insightful, but also it seems like he's maybe talking just too much.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, and then after the game, he's obviously talking, and I think he's saying things that people want to hear, but maybe he is the manager of Manchester United. He doesn't have to be 100% honest all the time. Yeah. I think
he's getting a hard time from journalists as well. They're giving him some heavy questions, and it's such a difficult job.
And he's answering. It's crazy.
I know, that's it. That's all you can do, right? But I do think this can't continue. If I'm a United fan, which at the moment, thank God I'm not, I would be genuinely just like concerned. I'd be like, I don't see anything here. The new manager's come in. That new manager bounce, you know, which is a bit of a, you know, whatever, never happened. You've been dire. You've literally looked like you've got nothing. You beat Arsenal on penalties. All right, fair enough.
We're out now. So
it doesn't matter. That's what I mean. It hasn't meant anything. And like you said, yeah, I think that European Cup now is the Europa League is the only glimpse of hope you have for the remainder of the season, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this could be, the season could be over the soonest since 2015 when we were at all the Cups at a similar stage. We have nothing left and, you know, we're 14th in the league. We are at the FA Cup, lost to Fulham. We lost in the Carabao Cup to, was it Newcastle?
I can't remember now. I'm not sure off the top of my head.
But anyway, we're at the Carabao Cup. We literally are hinging everything on this Europa League campaign, but Amorim got us knocked out of the Carabao Cup. Amorim got us knocked out of the FA Cup. Amorim has also seen us slide from when Ten Hag was sacked, we were 4 points off 4.
Mm-hmm.
And in recent times, we've been closer to the relegation zone than we have been the top four since Amorim's come in. So then you ask me, do I have the faith?
That's such a daft start, that. Oh, my God. That's crazy. Wait, say that again, please. Wait, say it one more time.
I can't, man.
No, that's ridiculous. Are you kidding? Oh, my God, I hadn't heard that. Oh, no.
I don't have the faith, man. I think we'll get knocked down in the Europa League, which we'll talk about in a minute. But, yeah, goddamn, tough out here. This is the digs. This is the trenches for Manchester United fans right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, good.
You know what the craziest thing is? 9 times out of 10, when it's this bad, the answer is to sack the manager. But this is one out of 10 times where you just can't even sack the manager. So what do you think? You can't sign any players. You can't sack the manager.
Sack more dinner ladies. I think it's the only way to do it.
That is true.
Cut more lunches.
Streamline more.
Yes.
Efficiency is key. Yeah, exactly.
Right, let's look at some of the other FA Cup games that happened over the weekend then. Newcastle, Brighton, Danny Welbeck, a certain ex-Man United man himself, scoring the winner in extra time. Did you watch the game?
I didn't watch the game, but I did see Danny Welbeck's goal. Bro, he's so good.
Yeah, he's absolutely...
I keep thinking he's 30.
Oh, my God.
But he's not. He's 34.
He's 34, isn't he? Which is outrageous. But, and he's this important in this Brighton team. And he's just... I mean, you know, I said this at the time, I remember, which was years ago now, but I don't think we should have really got rid of him when we did.
Yeah. That's what my new fans say.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to be one of these very kind of classic Barclaysmen, you know, like that we have now, kind of our,
100%,
you know.
100%. It's a great shout.
What's the word I'm looking for here? It's kind of there is a term for this and I'm forgetting, my mind's gone blank.
Barclaysmen.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. But he's very underrated, I think, career-wise. He was very good for us. He was injured a lot. And if my dad's listening, it's very funny. My dad couldn't stand him at times because there would be moments where, like, he'd try and kick the ball and it would go through his legs and go to, like, Sanchez or something. Sanchez would tap it in. But, another great winner and a great result for Brighton. And the FA Cup now, I think, is a great opportunity for them to get a trophy for the first time in however many years it's been. And I'm just glad Newcastle were knocked out as well. Because Newcastle fans doing this too much and they always beat Arsenal, especially in recent years. It's fucking me off. But yeah, Anthony Gordon's red card as well. You see that?
Isn't that just hilarious?
And now it looks like going to miss the Carabao Cup with that as well.
That's honestly one of the stupidest decisions I've seen a footballer make. And I think it's extra funny because everyone knows or has seen the videos of Anthony Gordon talk about his mentality, how he thinks every action through makes it sound so meticulous.
Yeah.
But in the most stupidest thing he could have done, he got sent off before the biggest game of his career. So I think all talk, man.
I know. It looks like they are going to appeal it, but I'd be very surprised if that gets overturned, right? He did just fucking wallop it, didn't he?
I mean, if it does...
Or maybe it goes down from a 3-match ban, but, you know.
Yeah. I think it would be extra funny if they actually just keep it in place still. They appeal it and they're like, actually, no, it does count, then you're going to miss the final. But, yeah, again, good to see Newcastle out. I think they'll definitely lose against Liverpool as well, so extra funny.
Here's the hoping.
Yeah. And I don't really want either team to win.
No.
It's going to be
Liverpool now.
That's a good one, I think. Brian looked great. Just again, shout out my man, Danny Welbeck. Yeah. Man, what a player. I think I would like to call it Danny Welbeck syndrome, is because he seems to be in the prime of his career now between the ages of like 31 and 34, where I think he's really honed in his game. But I think when he was at Arsenal and Man U, he actually wasn't that good. I think he was a bit clumsy and unrefined. But it's the Danny Welbeck syndrome where we're all like, man, we could so do with Danny Welbeck still. Why did we get rid of him?
God, we both are so could do with Danny Welbeck. God damn it.
Unbelievable. This should be called the Danny Welbeck podcast.
Yeah, the Danny Welbeck fan club podcast, honestly. We mention him every week from now on. We just love him.
It's never too late to rebrand, man. We could. But yeah, I think, go on, hit me with another fixture then.
So we got Palace Millwall as well. Quickly touching on, obviously, Mitesa just getting absolutely walloped in the head. A real crazy challenge. I've seen a lot of kind of discourse in the sense of some people have been like, everyone's overreacting, and a lot of people being like he should be banned for life. And to be honest, realistically, it probably sits somewhere in between. It was a bad, it had every right to go for the ball, but it was a very bad challenge, and he's going to be banned for a few games, and I think that's probably fair. We're about to get the Mateta with fucking face mask, head guard, whatever, long sleeves, gloves. He might just be the best player in the league.
Honestly, it's scary, but it's scary for everyone but Mateta, actually.
Yeah. I think so. A special shout out to Nketiah as well, getting a goal there. That's two on the bounce now for him. I just want him to do well, to be honest.
Yeah, I get it.
He's just, he was such a patient bloke at Arsenal because he was there for so long and he never really got his time. Last season, he was never quite it, to be completely honest. And I think somewhere like Crystal Palace, he could really come into his own. And he has struggled since he's got there, but he got his first goal last week, got another goal this week. That it is against Millwall in the FA Cup, but still, I just really hope he does well. And I quite like Crystal Palace. I've always got a soft spot for them. I don't know why.
Yeah, I actually like their team. I think they got a good team.
They have got a good team. Good manager as well.
Yeah, good manager. And yeah, I think good to him. Good to him.
Preston Burnley, 3-0 Preston. Not a whole lot
to
say
here. Actually, there is something to say.
Okay, go on.
Statistically, Burnley have the best defense in the world this season.
Yeah.
And everyone was saying this could be the world's worst game, 0-0. But Preston absolutely mashed them up. But there was some controversy in that one of the Preston players apparently racially abused Hannibal.
I did see that.
Yeah. But, you know, not to say anything on this bloke, but this guy has also just come back from a 8-match ban due to biting someone. So it sounds like, And
found that bloke, yeah.
Yeah, I think he went on to score for Preston in the game and everyone was kicking off. I haven't seen it, but I've heard. So yeah, it turns out there was actually stuff to say about this game.
It's funny. When talking about that Burnley record, I went to Portsmouth versus Burnley a few weeks ago, the championship game. And Portsmouth, I think, were about 20th or 19th or something at the time. And Burnley, obviously, like third. They had scored the same amount of goals that season. But Burnley had only conceded like 9 goals and Portsmouth conceded like 64 or something, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it's just, they can't score for shit. And I've got a friend who's a Fulham fan. Obviously, Scott Parker's in charge of Burnley now. And he's been shouting this for years. Scott Parker relies on nothing but individual moments going forward. And honestly, I think it sounds like he's probably bang on the way Burnley cannot create shit. So, we'll probably see them. It looks like we might see them again next season in the Prem, but.
Boring. Who knows?
Yeah, boring indeed. Another red card in this game, Bournemouth Wolves 1-1. Bournemouth go 3-5-4 on penalties. Cunha just again, he's got a bit of a screw loose, isn't he? That bloke. He gets a bit wound up. I mean, he's an amazing footballer, way too good for Wolves, and scored a spectacular goal, but really lost his head right at the end there.
He did. I think this weekend was the weekend for aggression in the FA. It felt like the cup was back, you know. It's a different feeling about the FA Cup this year. It feels a bit more buzz around it, you know. It's different teams in the last few rounds and everything. And all the aggression, all the red card. I mean, Cunha was out. So stupid. And he has got it in him because he's already been banned this season for snatching glasses off that
city. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that as well. Also really funny, to be fair.
Yeah, bro's having a good season, but he also could be missing, you know, 5 games in total due to some unworthy conduct on the pitch. So, but he is having a good season. Apparently, finger in the air, Manchester United are interested.
Fucking everyone. God damn it. Same with Arsenal, we're just as bad.
That's so true. I think they just recycle between Manchester United and Arsenal and the random transfer generator, you know.
All right, and then final game was a Man City 3, Plymouth 1 final score. Plymouth did go 1-0 up, which was quite exciting.
That was exciting.
And then, obviously, Man City did what they do and just decided to win. 2 goals from O'Reilly, 2 headers from the young man, and then De Bruyne scored in the 90th minute as well. Do Man City still end up winning this? Even though the season they've had, it would not shock me at all.
I mean, I'm no betting man, but yeah, almost definitely.
Almost definitely. You know, yeah,
I can't see any team left beating Manchester City And to go back to, I've permanently talked about their experience. They have more experience than the rest of these teams in the finals, semi-finals. They'll be fine.
That's it. I mean, at the time of recording, it's Forest are playing Ipswich at the moment. It's currently 20 minutes in and it's 0-0. But looking at the teams left, it's going to be Bournemouth playing Man City, Brighton playing the winner of tonight's game, Fulham are playing Palace, Preston are playing Villa. Now, other than Man City there, all these teams, it would be unbelievable for any of them to win the FA Cup. Man City obviously are going to be favourites still. I mean, they're playing Bournemouth in the quarter.
No,
they're playing
Bournemouth. You said that to me, and when you were in the fixture, I was like, I changed my whole opinion on the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know what? Okay, I'm going to go rogue. Hard guessing. I'm going to say, if Bournemouth manage to beat Man City, I think they'll win the entire thing.
I'm going to clip that right there, and we're going to put that somewhere. Yeah. I think I have all the teams. I don't really want anyone to win, really. I think probably, I mean, I've got... Brighton would be nice, because they've been so kind of consistently almost, you know, pushing that kind of top six for the last few years. If they could get through and win it, I think I'd really like that.
That'd be cool.
If I was a betting man, which I am, I would probably still put money on City to do it. I think they're just going to fluke their way through this. Rodri will be coming back soon. I don't know what the date is on that at all. I haven't seen any update recently, have you?
I'd be very surprised if he is actually back until May.
Yeah, okay. So maybe not, but I still think City are going to do it. I'd love it if they didn't, and I really hope they don't. But if not City, I'll say Brighton, because I think that'd be nice. And that's a prediction and a hope.
Yeah.
But we'll wait and see. Right, that's been the FA Cup. There was obviously some midweek games last week as well in the Premier League, where Arsenal drew 0-0 to Forest and Liverpool won again against Newcastle. And obviously, Isak was out for the one game where you want him to fucking play as an Arsenal fan, and he doesn't fucking play. But just briefly touching on that, the title is over. It's already sorted. It feels pretty done. Leading on from that, I think we just jump straight into... We've got the Champions League. Probably today, if you're listening to this, on the day it's come out. Arsenal playing PSV, then we also have Europa League as well, which is going to be obviously Man United Sociedad as well. We'll start with the Champions League, do you think, Taylor? Just have a quick look at some of those games.
Yeah.
You happy with that? Obviously, the big one for this podcast is the Arsenal one. At PSV, going to be a really tough game, I think. I am nervous, to be completely honest. PSV, I mean, they won the league last year. They've been decent this year. I think they just lost on the weekend to Go Ahead Eagles, which still is probably the best football name in the world. I think we've got to get... away games are two legs. You want a result, right? So you want at least a draw. I think if we want to show any... It's a good opportunity for us to show that we've still got something left to fight for this season, because the league is pretty much over now. Well, not pretty much. It is over, unless there's a complete collapse at Liverpool, which doesn't look likely at all. So we've got to go for this, and we've really got to put a stamp on, you know, we're here in the Champions League. We're not kind of that second tier of European club. We are, you know, one of the favourites of this competition, which I think going into the season, we probably were. As the season's gone on, we definitely haven't been anywhere close to that. You're looking at kind of, your Barcelona, there's obviously Real Madrid's are still there. Yeah, you know, Liverpool obviously still in the competition as well. So tomorrow's a really good opportunity, I think, for the team to put a statement out and just really show they've got something about themselves. I don't know what the lineup's going to be, but it's going to be quite sad, I think, still with that front line. I mean, looking at that, you know, the opportunity here, I think we've got to go for it, like I've already said. But yeah, I mean, do you have much to say about the Champions League or Arsenal in general?
No, I think Arsenal desperately just need to get through this. I mean, I understand that you're nervous, but I think you're not going to capitulate in the first game. I think I think push comes to shove, you'd still, if it was you guys were backed against the wall for whatever reason, I can't picture it. You guys are just a better team than PSV. Like I say, they lost to Go Ahead Eagles. So, I mean, you guys are the better team. You will probably overcome this, but the jeopardy is, if you guys don't, it's really devastating.
Yeah.
So, any of the players back for this? Not really.
Not that I know of. It's going to be the same old kind of, you know, Wanyari, Trossard, whoever else.
Could be a nice win.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I think the good thing about knockout competitions is you don't necessarily have to play well to do well in the competition. So because we are so defensively sound, that's going to help us a lot, especially in these maybe European away games. That being said, we did look a little bit shaky previously when we, you know, Saliba and Gabriel were a little, you know, a little on edge. But I still fancy us to get through this. I think, I'll be, like I said, we'll definitely at some point refer back to our Champions League predictions that we made earlier. I think maybe just before the final, maybe we do a bit of a preview or something. But yeah, I think we'll. I'm going to make a prediction of our game tomorrow. I reckon there's a draw. But then I reckon we do them at the Emirates. Is what I say.
I'm going to go 3-1 Arsenal. I think.
I like
think
that.
You guys will. I think you guys will. You've had a free weekend. You've had a week rest. You know, I think you guys would have prepared a lot. You're a better team. I think this is your chance to just kind of make it a bit easier for yourself. And you might, you know, I think if you score the first goal, I think your quid's in.
So, yeah.
You know, I think that will pretty much settle the tie immediately if you go a goal up early.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, I'm going to go 3-1 Arsenal.
I like that. I like that a lot. We'll touch on the other kind of bigger fixtures this week. I mean, PSG versus Liverpool on Wednesday night, which is going to be a corker of a game, I think.
That's cool.
I saw Paul Mercer say over the weekend, he doesn't think Liverpool have it in them to beat PSG, which is quite ballsy. I still think they will. This first game's in Paris. Paul Mercer is a bit hit or miss sometimes on the kind of stuff he likes to say.
I've never listened to Paul Mercer before. I'm certainly not going to listen to him now.
I think Liverpool do them. I'm going to say 3-1 Liverpool here.
I'm going to say 3-2 to PSG.
Ooh, I like that.
But then Liverpool sort it out in the second leg.
All right. I like that a lot. Club Rouge Villa as well. Tomorrow is the earlier kickoff, so it's 5:45 in Belgium. Not too much to say here other than Asensio and Rashford have looked like the best players and the best duo on the planet. So I am expecting Villa to go out and win this game and this tie as well.
What are you saying?
2-0. 2-0. I'm going to go with a 2-0.
Nice.
What do you reckon?
Okay, I'm going to say 2-1 Club Bruges.
All right. I like that as well. I have no real strong feelings about Villa, to be fair. I quite like a lot of their players.
I like a lot of their players. Good team.
But it would also be funny if they lost.
I think the occasion might overrule them a bit.
European knockout football.
Yeah, man. And then I think the home leg, again, that could be one they might just sort out. But I think they might draw or lose the first game.
All right. And then last one, I think we'll just do for now. Bayern Munich, Bayern Leverkusen. Now, I know in our predictions, after this, we'll touch on the Madrid tie as well, because that's a bit more interesting. But I think I said Leverkusen to go through on this one here. I can't remember if you agree. I think you might have agreed. I can't remember. But I think Leverkusen would be too much. I think the Celtic game, we saw Bayern and they just looked flat and dull. Like, we don't have to get into this too much because we have already touched on this. But I'm going to say 1-0 Leverkusen.
Nice, I like it. I'm going to go for a 1-1.
Okay, I like that as well. And then finally, we'll do the Madrid tie here. So it's Real versus Atletico. It should be a corker of a game, actually. Or it's going to be an absolute snooze fest with some of the...
I think it will be a corker. I think this game just has drama in it. It's one of these games which always delivers.
Yeah. All right, you go first then. What have you got for this?
I'm going to go for an Atletico 2, Real Madrid 1.
Really?
First game. Yeah, I am.
Okay. It's
at the Bernabeu first, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Atleti are going to scare them. Atleti, you know, Real Madrid surrendered their league in La Liga. So, Atleti, I think they either are top or they could go top if they won their game in hand.
Interesting.
Atleti are the best team in La Liga at the minute. So, you know, I think it could play out more like a league game. The league form suggests Atleti's in better form. So, I think...
All right. That's Atleti very Madrid, though, as well, or Real, in terms of the sense that they lose and then they go into the last leg and then the last 5 minutes of that game, they end up scoring 4 goals or something.
Exactly.
I still think Real Madrid are going to do them. I reckon it's going to be, I think, 4-1, 4-2. How about that? Tune into that game, guys. There's got a lot of goals going on. All right, moving on to the Champions League then. We've got the Europa League knockouts, which we haven't spoken as much. Obviously, Man United versus Real Sociedad. Taylor, you are off to the game, in fact.
I am indeed.
Away days.
Away days. What's this, the fourth of the season? Here we go.
How are you feeling about it? What are you feeling about your chances here?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I'll start off by delivering good news.
Oh, yeah, go on. You said you got some news before we start recording. Go on,
what have you got? Good news. So to get the tickets for the European away days, obviously go through the Manchester United website. And my partner and I, we both have Manchester United accounts. We've been collecting the credits over the years. You know, I'm set on. But they've changed the system now. So it used to be if you were going, you'd have to show identification and you could only pick up the ticket if you matched up with your ID in the destination. As part of Sir Jim's cost-cutting exercises, he's gotten rid of that as well. So now, essentially, the credit system, which used to work well before, is now rigged. And everyone just buys a ticket if they can with high enough credits. So they can either get the credit because they don't need to pick the ticket up in person anymore. They just get sent it via an email address. So the whole system has come crashing down. It's not a fair system anymore. So as a result, we were applying for tickets for the game Sociedad, and my partner didn't get a ticket in the raffle, which was devastating because we needed two tickets for the game. Anyway, so I actually emailed Manchester United on Sunday night and said, because they're not doing returns due to the short timing between the ballot and the game. So I emailed them saying, if by any chance, you know, we've already got flights booked, hotels booked, if there's any tickets going, you know, more than happy to take one. They emailed me back saying, yeah, not a chance. And then I get a text from Pamela saying Manchester United have called her, and they said, do you want a ticket? I was like, take it immediately. So actually, did come back around, and now I have got two tickets to the game.
No way! So they call Pamela on the back of your email.
So they actually had responded to my email saying, yeah, not a chance because we're not taking cancellations, so there won't be any return tickets. But yeah, they called her up today and said, we got a ticket. Do you want it? I was like, yes, please, immediately. So now have two tickets for El Partido.
So you're both going? Yeah, both going.
Yeah, man. The journey starts Wednesday night, heading off to Stansted. Then we're flying to Zaragoza. £20 flight to Zaragoza from Stansted. Bargain.
Rude not to.
6:05 flight, nice and early.
Oh, hell yeah. Pamela will kind of be too keen for that.
Yeah, no, not at all. And then we've got a train from Zaragoza to Pamplona. And then we've got a bus from Pamplona to San Sebastian. We get to the city 2 hours before the game kicks off. And there we go. So yeah, it's gonna be a long trip all to watch. The worst part about going away is the game. I don't think we missed Bucharest, so we haven't watched a European away win. Actually, Pamela's never seen a European away win.
I was going to say, had she ever seen one? Because I think, what was the last one you saw away win?
We beat Real Betis in the Europa League round of 16. Because then we lost to Sevilla. Because I was in Sevilla for the Betis game and then watching the draw on my phone in a restaurant. And I was like, just any team but Sevilla because I'm here and I don't want to have to come back in 2 weeks. And rest assured, it was Sevilla. Had to go back in 2 weeks. And then
hard life.
But then it's just, we got beaten. So, yes. And we love Spanish teams in European knockout competitions. And we also love to lose against Spanish teams in European knockout competitions.
Hell yeah.
Villarreal, Europa League final. David De Gea misses his penalty after
very quickly? So for those who don't know, me and Taylor, we met at university and we lived together in final year, which was 2020 or 2021. So it was during the pandemic, a bit of lockdown. And I'm not sure what the pub rules were at that time, but it was, I think, were you just finishing your dissertation or something?
I had just finished,
Just finished it. And we were watching it with two of our mates who are both also Man United fans. So I was the only non-Man United fan watching it just at our flat. And just the pure stress going through everyone's mind when I was there on the sidelines giggling as we watched fucking De Gea just missed that last penalty. He skied over the bar, didn't he?
It's a dreadful penalty. You know what? There's a great video somewhere in the world of me chewing a door frame and in basic tears.
I'll find it and I'll put it on one of our social medias. It'll be like a shameless plug real quick. Twitter, TikTok or whatever. Check us out. I'll find that video somewhere and it's just absolute devastation. I think I've got a few filmed reactions from a few of the different goals. So it's a lot of cheering and then it's a lot of pain right at the end.
Come on, Dave, you're a United legend. Don't fuck it up, Dave. Come on, David, you got this.
Anyway, going back to the games this week.
Going back, yeah.
We're reminiscing about Man United being shit and other times. But Sociedad down Man United, then, what are your predictions on that game? What can you expect?
I think, firstly, it should be noted that Fido can't play in this game because he's not on the UEFA B list and he doesn't qualify as all UEFA A list, and he doesn't qualify as a homegrown player because he's been at Manchester United for less than 3 years.
Right.
So he is not on, he wasn't added to the list in January, so he can't actually play. So it will be Rasmus Højlund. It pretty much will be exactly the same team that it was against Fulham, which, how heartbreaking is it to think that? I'm traveling many a miles to go watch a Christian Eriksen, Manuel Ugarte, Bruno Pivot, and I'm just.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. This is the pits, man, like I said. So I think...
Would you take a draw?
I was going to say, my gut thinks this is going to be a draw. I think as long as we got big ass, the lip playing, I think physically we should be a bit too much for those tiny, tiny Spanish footballers.
Mm-hmm.
So
you'd hope so, right?
Surely they can't be that good from corners. Watch them score a corner now.
They're going to clip this.
And I'm going to go ballistic.
I'll be watching from the sofa. Watch Zubimendi as well, obviously. I'm hoping he's playing. Mm-hmm. Just for, you know, the was it confirmed rumours? Or that he looks like he's going to be joining Arsenal in the summer?
Potentially, yeah. I think I will be doing a post-game video to send across to give my thoughts on sure whatever we're going to watch. It's not going to be good because it hasn't been good all season, but it'll be something. So I'm sure there'll be something to discuss.
There'll be something to talk about, and that's all that matters absolutely. At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Looking at the teams remaining in the Europa League, then the kind of the big ones that stand out. Obviously, got Spurs still there, who are kind of coming back a little bit. They're finding their legs a bit. Frankfurt, who have been a decent team. Lazio are there. Athletic, Bilbao. Leon, Roma, some big teams there. I mean, Man United, in the eyes of the bookies, they're always going to be up there in terms of one of the favourites. But otherwise, you might be looking at Bilbao, Lazio, probably kind of some of the teams there. What would you say?
Loads of teams, which could, to be fair, you name all.
I didn't even mention Ajax. I did mention Ajax as well. They're there as well. They're always.
I think all these teams, from a Manchester United point of view, I think all these teams could probably have us over two legs. There's not many teams I look at the minute and think we could beat. I think Tottenham, do I think they'll do it? My gut's telling me no. I think some of the other European clubs you mentioned, they just go about winning trophies differently. It feels like, you know, if Lazio picked it up, would it be the most surprising thing you've ever seen in your life? No. But they're probably not doing that well in Serie A.
No one's really here.
But if they won, I wouldn't be that surprised. I think whoever wins out of the United, Real Sociedad tie has a good chance. Because I think they have to then play the Lyon or FCSB in Bucharest. And I think could be anyone, really. Could be anyone. I just don't think it's going to be Tottenham.
No. All right. I think that's good. You know what? History may say that's probably a very fair bet, I think, is that. That's it. Mm-hmm. All right. I think very briefly, we're just coming to the end really now, what we've got to say. But Sunday fun day this weekend is the Red and White Chalkboard Derby that we mentioned last week in the Premier League. Unfortunately, it kind of means fuck all. like Arsenal win, yay. Man United win. I mean, that's more of a crisis than anything else, I think, if United get a win over Arsenal here. It is at Old Trafford. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, who really cares? We'll be watching it, obviously. together as well.
Are we going to hit the predictions for Arsenal Man U now, or are we going to do? We'll do an episode actually talking about the fixture.
Do you think, or beforehand?
Yeah, I think beforehand we could do that. We could go into a bit more depth of what we think is going to happen.
All right. Yeah, we could do a quick episode beforehand and kind of going into it all. It is Premier League again this weekend, which is quite exciting because Arsenal haven't played and I all of a sudden think we're the best team in the world again. But the big one this week is the European football, which we've already touched on, and then the United-Arsenal game at 4:30 on the Sunday. I think that really rounds us off quite nicely there and brings us to an end. Taylor, how's the rest of the week looking? Other than obviously, I mean, you got any other plans in Spain, I should be saying, in Sociedad while you're there? Or is it just football and nothing else?
It is strictly football and nothing else. I think I'm just going to eat loads of good food, drink loads of beer, sit at the beach, chill out, and just try to decompress from whatever happens.
Yeah, that's obviously hearing that now. Yeah. I mean, I know we've had the sun now, but it's not quite Spanish sun, is it?
No, I mean, it's been glorious, so... Can't complain. But I think, I'll end on I love European football. Can't wait for this week. It's going to be a good week.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for listening again, guys. Really appreciate it. This has been, I think, a really strong episode. I've had a good laugh here. Please check us out on Twitter. We started a Twitter up. Taylor's been tweeting about Man United, which is always good fun to listen to his live thoughts. I'll be tweeting about football and Arsenal bits and bobs as well. Going to have a TikTok up. We have a YouTube, obviously, if you're listening to on Apple or Spotify, whatever it is, please like them, rate it, share it with your mates. This is really good fun. And we just want the world to hear what we have to say because we know it's correct. And I don't think anyone's doing it quite like us, basically.
Amen. Amen.
Perfect. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. And you'll hear from us this weekend. Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.